Okay, it's a little after 6 o'clock, so I'm going to call this Tannehill County Planning Commission meeting for Monday, January 9th, 2012 to order. First, we need to establish a quorum, please.
Okay, Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
Dave Stewart.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards is not with us this evening. Rick Therese.
Here.
And Randy Hayes is our new interim road and bridge administrator.
Here. Welcome, Randy.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, next on our agenda is our election of 2012 officers. And if I'm not mistaken, we have two officer positions. We've got a chairperson and a vice chair. So I guess first up would be chairperson for the calendar year 2012. I will open the floor for nominations.
Make a nomination that Sean Pingleton remain our chair for 2012.
I'll second it.
I'd open the floor for more nominations.
Yeah, go get it.
You got it, buddy.
I'll third it.
I like what you think.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now for our vice chair. I'll open the floor for nominations for vice chair.
I make a motion we nominate Susan Martin.
Any other nominations or a second?
I will second that.
You're going to get about as much cooperation as I got.
One can always hope.
Yeah. Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of Susan Martin as the vice chair?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So it looks like we're set for the calendar year 2012. Now, if you would, Mr. Ashley, please explain our meeting procedures.
Okay. Public hearings are required and governed by the Tannehill County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division III application, which is filed with the Tannehill County Planning Commission staff. The Tannehill County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each request will be read to the Planning Commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing this evening, you must sign in the sign-up sheet at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing, which in this case, the votes will actually be held on this next Tuesday since Monday is a holiday. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case is heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, very good. Looks like our first one up tonight is Country Park, is that right?
Yes.
And do we have a representative here for Country Park? Eddie? Are you both tonight?
Okay. This is case number 2011-26. This is a public hearing for a request to utilize the existing residence located at 121 Yale Street as a commercial use in the Branson Township, Section 17, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, Leonie Milton, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit, again, allowing for this existing residence to be utilized for a number of commercial uses. The history on this, the subject property consists of Lot 8 of Country Park Subdivision. This approximately 0.38-acre site contains an existing residence and also an existing off-premise or billboard sign. On December 21st, 2011, the Tannehill County Board of Adjustment heard a variance application from Ms. Milton, requesting a variance from Section 6.1.3 and Table J2 of the Development Guidance Code, basically concerning the natural vegetative buffer requirements. This is going to allow the applicant to put in a 6-foot tall privacy fence in lieu of the required vegetative buffer. The current application was approved for concept on December 19th, 2011. And this is the property in question. It's adjacent to Highway 65 here. And just a kind of an aerial shot of the same thing. Again, the general description on this, the applicant's proposing to utilize this existing residential structure for a number of commercial uses. And we've listed the proposed uses that the applicant is seeking on this second slide. In review, the representatives are proposing to utilize the existing circle driveway, which accesses both Yale Street and Sunrise Drive. Parking will be provided along the existing circle drive, with also a small parking area also being established via a small lot to the north, which was formerly a well for that subdivision. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, basically one space is required for every 200 feet of commercial space, or one space is required for every 100 feet of space if it was to be utilized as a clinic or medical office. The approximate square footage of the building wasn't indicated in the assessor's information, but depending on whether this was utilized as more of a commercial or office use or was used at some point for a clinic or medical use, the parking requirements would vary somewhat in the Development Guidance Code. Again, per the approved variance, the applicant is proposing to erect a 6-foot-tall privacy fence in lieu of the natural vegetative buffer between the property in question and the adjoining residence to the north. The existing residence is currently served by the Public Water Supply District 3 and also a community wastewater treatment system. The adjoining property immediately to the north, south, and west is primarily single-family residential. U.S. Highway 65 is pretty much adjoining immediately to the east. The project received a total score of 7 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 43. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, waste disposal service, use compatibility, and traffic. And in summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First off, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the fire district and the on-site wastewater inspector regarding the wastewater treatment plant. Third, parking shall be provided to accommodate the use that occupies the structure, ensuring adequate compliance with the parking provisions of the Development Guidance Code. Fourth, a 6-foot-tall privacy or opaque fence shall be erected in lieu of the natural vegetative buffer between the property in question and the adjoining residence to the north. Fifth, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Sixth, the decision is subject to all existing easements. And seven, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days.
Leave that there for just a second.
Okay.
On number four, I noticed earlier you said that there was residential property on three sides. Why are we just possibly requiring it to the north?
Go.
There's not anything immediately adjoining.
Okay, go back one more.
Okay.
The other way. Way. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Go towards the end. That's where I want to go back to. Right there. One back.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, there you go. I thought that's what it said. I just want to make sure we're right.
It said north, south, and west.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so really,
So is it north, south, and west, or is it north?
Well, the only residence immediately adjoining
is a residential to the north and south, whether it's existing residential or not. I mean, that's what we have generally requested in the past.
Everything's commercial to the south and west.
So it's incorrect on here.
Okay.
then we need to get that cleared up one way or the other. Find out if that's what is the case so we know. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
And I've got a brief video here.
New signs.
And this is the property in question. This is the existing billboard sign or off-premise sign. This is kind of the area between the existing residence to the north. And, of course, looking out to Highway 65.
Benita, did he pick the only rainy day to take you out there?
When did it rain? I tell you anything?
And that's
okay. I noticed we had some folks that showed up after we started. If you do want to speak on either item, we've got a sign-up sheet up here. If you do want to speak, you need to go ahead and sign up now, because I'm getting ready to take those. And if you just want to listen, that's okay. But if you want to speak, now would be the time to sign up. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we've got two folks signed up to speak on Country Park. I'm going to go ahead and let Eddie Wolf come up and say a few things as per the changes we've made, and then I'll give you a chance to answer questions again at the end.
Okay, like I said, the concept hearing, all we want to do is just rezone it for commercial uses, and the property to the south is owned by Stormy Point, and the property to the west is owned by Stormy Point, which had been a PD already run through the city of Branson and approved for condominiums down there. And that road, don't have a corner, but the road there that's got the blue line down at there, Fountain Street, it will be extended all the way into Branson Hills, and that extended runs across the golf course there on that present road. That will all be improved to city standards and everything through the city of Branson. And so all of that property there is already in the city. This is bordering the city limits, and it's just sitting there. When they, if they hook up to the sanitary sewer of the city, which they eventually will, it'll be annexed into the city.
Okay.
But that's about all there is to say about it, unless you've got some questions.
Well, we may at the end. We'll wait and see what Gary has to say, and then we'll move forward from there. Our next speaker, our next person to speak is Gary Leach.
Mr. Pinkleton, Commission. I'm sorry, I don't know who he is.
A Wolf.
And I don't know
him. He's a representative for the developer.
Just to be clear, I'm at 159 Yale, which is the furthest north house in our subdivision. A couple of things come to mind. First off, the intended commercial uses are pretty vague about all these myriad of things that they think that they might want to do. So we as the majority owners in Country Park Subdivision would like to have a better idea. The other thing that's a little tiny bit disturbing is they only own Lot 8. Myself, my wife and I own three lots. Janet Ellis owns two lots. We have a subdivision that requires some ways of going about doing things. We would have liked to at least had a discussion with the owners that they had intentions to do this. Yale is our only egress. Right here. That's our only way into my house. And so if there's significant parking there, I have no way in and out. We already have enough challenges with vehicles coming down and turning around in our little area. I'm not totally against this. I want y'all to know that. But I'd like some clarification of what is really planned because it is so, so vague. A CPA's office wouldn't bother me too much. A clinic probably really would just because we're a residential area. The second thing that I think that you should know is myself, for the last 8 months, I've been mowing all this grass, taking care of all the leaves. We weed eat around this property. The previous tenants have been gone for quite a while. Their family has done zero to take care of that property. What is to make us think that they're moving forward, going to give the proper due? If they lease this out to another entity into that shop, I don't have any control over who that's going to be. So how do I know how that's going to be maintained? It's already not being maintained. So these are things I think you guys as commission need to take into consideration. Right at face value, those of us in the subdivision who are majority owners do not support this in any way, shape, or form because we haven't even been consulted. So that's all for me. Okay. Questions for me?
Where do you live?
Right here.
Yeah, he's
159.
He's right here.
Okay, yeah. And who lives in the house directly north of that?
Janet Ells.
Janet lives there.
And he's actually inaccurate about this road. As it's been described, that's only an emergency use in that condo development. It is by plan from the county commission, from this commission, is only supposed to be ingress and egress in emergency. It is not supposed to be used on a daily basis. Ingress and egress from the condominiums are supposed to come through the golf course. I think that needs to be made clear. That road, Fountain Street, is not supposed to be used that way. But you can check with the city.
Do we know if that, is that a city road? You know, you probably don't know off the top of your head.
No, it's not. It's actually owned now by...
Or what the plans are to be, is that county road? Or that's something that we can certainly check on.
It was a county road that was given to the city. The city gave it to the current owners, Stormy Point. So it's actually owned by them. But that's only from...
Sorry.
That's only from the edge here. Can you go back to the edge?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Stormy only owns basically from right here. Because the bed and breakfast and all that, still, this is a county road, this one right here. The county used to have this. The only other thing that you need to know is the only hydrant in this area is down here. And so it's quite a ways for Western to serve this, to serve that building if it's something really involved, like say a restaurant or something like that, because it's pretty vague in the descriptions. So those things that you would normally think that go along with the safety of a commercial building, they're not terribly well equipped just yet.
Okay. Any more questions for Mr. Leach? Thank you. Eddie, do you have anything? I know there was quite a few questions that came up there. Maybe you could...
Well, it's clear of your ship of one thing. I surveyed. I know what they own out there. The bed and breakfast sits right here. They own to here. They own this land here. The state owns this out here. But they own all the way to here, all the way back over, and they own all of this.
You're talking about Stormy Point?
Stormy Point. They own all along this road up to here, but they bought all those parcels out in there. As far as that road goes, it will be built to city standards and joined all the way to the outer road. And it will be used for traffic. It'll be used for emergency vehicles also, but it'll be used for traffic also.
Okay.
I mean, it's the roads in there were...
is that going to be gated?
Vacated. Well, I know the electric has been vacated for sure because I did those myself. Don't know about the vacation of the roads for sure, but I know that the city, they plan on that being a road. And it's in the PD.
The little short road that goes up to this man's house, you said...
That's a platted street.
That's a platted street. There's no way they can block that road.
No, there's no parking that'll be out on the street or anything. It's going to be all contained inside the property. And as far as the uses in there, what I told Mr. Milton and the way planning and zoning runs is when you present a commercial property, you have to tell the board what you plan on doing there. So if we go for a beauty shop and we decide for the real estate office, we don't want to come back. Now, there's a good chance that all maybe one or two of those Because right now, what he plans on doing, they've got an office down there at Jim Winstock down at Bee Creek. And they want to quit paying rent in there. And they're going to move their business up there, which is advertising, real estate, stuff like that, up there. In that at the present time. But I told him that he needed to make a list.
Well, like,
board.
And currently, at least this is my thoughts on this, and it may not be all of the commissions, but it's, and, you know, we do, the way we operate today mm-hmm. is that we require, we want to know as best that they can. Obviously, you know, we've been, yeah. what it is that they're going to do, and especially in a situation like this where it abuts some residential, it's really important. But otherwise, I feel like we would need to look at the most impactful one on here. And make the decision
from
that.
A clinic or something like that, that's probably not realistic.
Well, I think what we would need to know is if these are all, if we need to take a look at all of these and make a decision. I know why you mm-hmm. told him that way, because that's what we like to see. But on the other hand, when we see all these mm-hmm. in a situation like this, I think we need to look at the most impactful. I think that would be helpful, don't you, to not only us, but of course to the adjacent landowners and
So they know
what's going on.
Like I said, there's not going to be no new construction. Everything's going to be as is. I'm sorry the guy's got to mow the grass. So they probably had the house rented or something, and they just didn't keep the property because she does own the property, his wife. But if they move their business up there, they're going to have to maintain the property. You would think. You know, I can't answer for them, but you would think they would.
Okay.
So that's the best I can tell you.
Okay. So you might look at that. I mean, that's one request that I've got.
I'll call Larry and talk to him and see if he wants to eliminate anything on the list.
And just tell him, you know, I mean, that's...
Have you got any in particular besides the clinics that you would be worried about that I can address with you?
Well, if they're going to move their business that's initially now, is it selling tickets or what is their business now?
They do some show tickets. They do some advertising. You know, they got like one employee. You know, we're only talking about two or three people being there.
Right.
They don't have no foot traffic at all. It's most of us don't want to tell.
But if they were a visitor's welcome center, they would have a lot of foot mm-hmm. traffic.
Yeah, if you could ever get them down there.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
if they're not, they're not going to be there.
But he's got that yeah. down here for us
that's
to
true.
Consider.
You know.
And there's a lot of traffic.
And now, same thing with the antique craft quilt you, gift sales.
Yep. If you do the telephone sales and you offer show tickets and stuff like that,
But that's not a welcome center. It's not yeah. just like the chamber is a welcome uh-huh. center, and there's a lot of traffic there. That would indicate traffic coming up to mm-hmm. get brochures and what's going on in Branson.
Right.
Type thing.
I think it'd be a pretty small number where it's at, but that's possible. People.
The theater show attraction ticket sales is a different entity.
Yeah.
But the visitors' welcome center, they're not the same.
Because I told him to try to cover everything because, you know, sure. if you're on the phone, sell show tickets, then that's a different use than something else.
I think at least one of my concerns would be anywhere that would have much more traffic than a typical, a little bit. I mean, I don't know exactly where that sits. I mean, I live right across the highway from there, but a little more than a typical, a little more than typical regular residential use I could see, but something where you, you know, where you, to survive, you have to have a lot of in and out, like an antique craft quilt gift sales.
Right.
I mean, they would have to have a lot of people in and out there to even make it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, the other thing too is, the way business is done anymore, you could have antique crafts and do online.
Well, yeah. Well, we understand that, but
anymore.
So I guess to clarify that, we would want to know if there's walk-in retail
yeah.
available. I mean, because that's the difference there.
Well, that timeshare vacation club sales, there'd be a lot of traffic there too.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be no tours out there. It'd just be telephone calls and all that is. That's just like Stony Point. You know, they got their center where they do all their tours out of, where they do all their business calls out of, is entirely a different building.
Yeah.
You know,
I, at least for me, I know that we would want this to appear as much as possible mm-hmm. to still be residential as far as traffic goes. I think yeah. that would hopefully answer some of the questions that the neighborhood
right.
has. So
we can't make it probably where like a person going to work coming back.
No, I understand that. Well, we understand that anytime we do that with a hairstyling salon, you're going to have more, but it's not like you've got 10 cars there at a time.
Cars an hour
exactly.
Like
you know.
And right. a lot of those would have five to 10 cars at a time.
If there was retail in there that yeah. they had in and out. That
clinic.
Well,
they
couldn't call it
clinic.
That much parking
right.
It's.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
concern.
Yeah, and I think
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the kind of thing
he
wants to make sure we.
He wants to address that.
Okay.
Next week.
Any other questions from the commission?
Yes. What, and this is for staff probably, but I was on the commission several years ago when the sign, the flashing sign, was put up there and put on this piece of property, and I just wondered what was it zoned to put that, I know there wasn't any opposition to it at the time, which really surprised me, but what would the zoning be on that property now to have that sign on there? What's the present zoning? Huh?
It's commercial where the sign says.
Just for the sign says.
Yeah, you can see it all. It's right there on the...
So basically, we got a commercial piece inside this parcel right now.
I didn't remember how that all came down, and when this all came back up, well, I remembered. But I knew that when...
So part of the original lot is commercial already.
Okay. Answers my question.
Eddie, I got one more question. It's about the well closing. Mm-hmm. Has that been done?
I don't know. I know that that's been cleaned up there. I don't know if they got any documentation on it or not. Like Jim Thompson is the one that went up there and done the work. I can ask Larry that also.
Yeah, that would be, I'd kind of like to know that. Because that
I absolutely
done,
would.
The DNR.
Because that's been three. We've had a lot of problems with that in the past on not getting wells closed properly.
But since that's right there and it wants to be commercial and they want to use it for parking, we need to know if it's been...
There's been a lot of open wells out there in the lake.
That's true. But I think that needs to be stopped at some time, and that's one of the things that I'd like to see happen before I give approval.
You see a lot of them that are out there in the lake. The wellheads themselves. But I'll ask him that question also.
Okay. Anything else? Hang on, Gary.
Ask another.
Hang on. If you would get with Jim Lawson, is it Jim? Is that
yes.
right? And find out what you need to find out about that road and about the issues in the city, so we're clear when we're making a decision. And we've got correct information.
And I'll report back at the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Regardless on the road, we're not using the road.
I understand. But that's still, I think that's something probably the commission would want to know.
Okay.
Thank you. Real quick, Gary, what do you...
My only thought is about the sign, and I have the same question about...
go ahead. We're on...
If the property gets changed and it gets upgraded or whatever, can that sign also eventually then be upgraded? And so will I go from looking at a 20-some-foot thing... up to a 50-foot building?
No, not without approval from this body.
That's what I was curious about, was about that.
No.
And I know there are some regs with the state about distance between those billboards. The only thing that makes me worry is Stormy Point building condos behind us. That property is ideal to be redone later as a welcome center. And I just think that if y'all open this door, that I don't think it'll be very long until you'll see them coming back to ask you to redo that property as a welcome center. If you look how Stormy Point is built right now, the very first thing as you drive in their gate is a welcome center. Well, that to me looks like a perfect place to build one also.
And that may be, although I don't know if we can speculate on things like that.
I don't have an idea.
I think we have to look at what we've got today.
It just makes me curious, the timing of it.
It'd be a guess.
And it'll be up to whatever commission, whether it's the city of Branson or whether it's this commission, to deal with that at that time.
Okay.
So, thanks. Okay. Next on our list is American Sportsman's Holdings.
This is case number 2011-30. This is a public hearing for a wireless telecommunications facility consisting of an 80-foot-tall monopole communications tower to be located off of Dale Drive on Lot 45 of Ozarks Paradise Village, Hollister, Missouri, in the Oliver Township, Section 11, Township 21, Range 22. The applicant is American Sportsman Holdings Company, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to allow for the construction of a new 80-foot self-support telecommunications tower, which will be constructed to appear like a pine tree. The proposed tower would be located on Lot 45 of Ozarks Paradise Village, an approximately 8,798 square foot lot accessed by Dale Drive. Ozarks Paradise Village is a grandfathered subdivision, with the first phase being platted in 1965. Per the assessor's information, all of the adjoining lots are owned by the applicant, with the exception of lot 46 to the east. The majority of the lots within Ozarks Paradise Village have not been developed, with the exception of the existing residents located on the lots immediately to the west, which is lots 42, 43, and 44. And this is the property in question is kind of in this area here. This is the lot in question. It's lot 45 of Ozark Paradise Village, and basically this lot is approximately 76 and a half feet by 115 feet. And this is just a Google view of the property in question. And these are some examples that have been submitted in other areas of what the tower may appear to look like. And in review, the proposed tower, again, will be located on lot 45 of Ozarks Paradise Village, with only basically one small accessory structure, which is on lot 44 of Ozarks Paradise Village, currently lying within the 80-foot fall distance. The small accessory building, which is within the fall distance, is also currently owned by American Sportsman Holdings Company. The proposed self-support tower will be constructed in order to appear like a pine tree and will also include an approximately 226-square-foot equipment shelter. The project received a total score of negative 1 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 19. The relative policy receiving a negative score consisted of use compatibility. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, a compliance letter from the FAA. Third, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fourth, the decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Sixth, should the telecommunications tower no longer be in use for the original purpose granted by the Division 3 permit and serving as an approved co-location site, the tower shall be dismantled and removed within 6 months of the cessation of operations. And seven, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've put together just a brief video. And this is the property in question, basically, between the flags. This is the adjoining property. It's a little hard to see with the sun shining through, I know. But there is a small accessory building that would fall within the 80-foot fall distance. And then you've got a residence here. And this is just a view of the adjoining property. Okay.
We have four people signed up to speak tonight on this. I'm going to start with Eddie Wolf, like we did on the last one. Let you tell us what you want to tell us, and then you're the representative, right, Eddie?
Yeah.
And then we'll give you some time at the end to speak again.
This tower is supposed to be constructed there on the lot, and they're not wanting to go in and take all the trees off the lot. They want to just clear an area big enough to put the tower up and have a small access road into it. And constructed where they can leave it as natural as possible. And then the tower itself will look like a pine tree, what you've seen with the panels and everything like that. And the purpose of this tower is to fill voids that is in the Big Cedar area while they're on their radios transmitting back and forth and all that. They're having a lot of trouble, and this will fill all the voids, the holes in their network where they can communicate with each other.
Is this an intranetwork, or is it a cell phone tower?
It's going to be set up like an intranetwork on there, but it's also going to have a capability for cell phone towers too.
you know, in there. It's going to be set up where if another company needed that coverage, they could put a transmitter on it.
So they could co-locate there?
Yes, they could. And but the purpose of it is only for, the main purpose is for their use. That's what it's for. They will have the capability of somebody else.
There's not another tower in the area that they can co-locate on with somebody else?
Nothing there that will take care of the hole. That's why they got the problem now, is the holes that's there. But I think there in the report he said that, that they did not own the lot to the east. I think if you look, that's under Kevin Burns.
Okay. I think that's correct.
They own that lot.
Okay.
They own every lot adjoining this property.
Can you show us? Just, I know we don't have a pointer today.
Right there.
This one right here.
They own the house to the west.
And I do.
Is that rented out? It's rented to somebody? Okay.
And the only structure that would be within the 80-foot fall distance is basically a small accessory
and
building here.
What about the
white spot right
or maybe there. Fall. Yeah.
This tower is constructed. If it falls, it won't go this way or that way. It'll go straight down. That's the way it's constructed.
But within the 80-foot fall distance, the only building is that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's their own building.
And it's a more or less a shed.
A shed that goes with that residence? I mean, that's...
The residence uses it now, yes.
Yes.
The tower will be located directly in the middle of the lot. That's where it'll be located.
Okay. All right, that's a good start. Unless somebody has questions up front for Eddie, we can catch him on the end.
Will that be the only pine tree on the lot?
First signed up to speak is, I think it's Richard Ledoux.
Yes.
Sure. We normally have a pointer. I don't know what happened
Dad,
to
it. Our pointer has walked off.
Okay.
I do apologize.
This is my house. This is my lot. This is my lot. This is my lot. This is. I have seven lots here.
Okay.
And this tower, this is the only area right here that is that residences are located.
Okay. If you don't mind, Richard, come back over here whenever. That way.
And our complaint is that there's an 80-foot tower there, and there's no other trees that are anywhere close to that. I think around 45 foot is maybe these trees that are located in this property. And there are no pine trees. We have a lot of cedar trees, no pine trees. And some of the people in these other houses here, they walk out their door and they're going to see this thing sticking out. What we're saying is, and these other lots that I have are investment lots that I can build a residence on. My concern is, I don't want this eyesore by my investment property. Now, this company here is associated with all these other property on that side of the road, and our feeling is we're not begrudging them putting a tower up for their communication system. That's fine. I don't speak for myself. I don't have a problem with that. Can we put that somewhere else on their property that will justify, that will take care of their situation, but not put this tower that's going to be 35, 40 foot higher than anything else around. And I think it's going to disrupt our property value, but it's just going to be an eyesore for us. And we live out there in the country, out in there, the woods, and that's how we like it. You know? And that's why we live out there. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up, Mark Kennedy.
Here at my residence right here, which is going to be in direct view, I can actually see these through this house through the tree, so therefore my house is going to be in a direct view of this pine tree. It's going to stick up 80 feet, approximately 30 to 40 feet above all of the trees. I've seen pictures of these trees sticking above the other trees. It's I mean, it doesn't look bad. It is going to look out of place. There is no other pine trees on the lots out there. I guess my only argument is Sportsman LLC, Three Johns, Big Cedar Corporation owns tons of property out there. That could be a more, to me, of an ideal location, closer to the resort. I know they probably don't want to see it from the resort. That's why they want to locate it there. And of all places, this is the only place that is populated by residents. I'm going to say there's 11 or 13 residents within a quarter mile radius. Maybe I'm not wrong, approximating. I don't really like to see, I mean, like you said, it's not even with cell tower. It's not going to benefit us. This is a subdivision. They do have covenants, but they were released with our covenants for this purpose without even our acknowledgement. That's another issue between us and the board. But, I mean, we're going to address that, too. That's beside the point. But, like I said, I just don't want to see it. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Kennedy. Amanda Tefree, is that right? Okay.
As I agree with them, first, we agree that it is not compatible with a residential neighborhood such as ours. Sorry, I have a hard time getting in front of people. And I've had an opportunity to speak with my neighbors who join with me, and they believe that there's a better location for this tower. There definitely is. As you drive down Lakeshore Drive, you're going to see an 80-foot fake tree, and it's going to catch your attention. Even though it's disguised, it's probably going to stand out more and grab your attention than another cell phone tower might. Because it is a cell phone tower, and it even on the plans that were submitted, it says AT&T. So, AT&T mobility antenna mounts. And I guess my biggest point is, today is my daughter's fifth birthday, and I'm here tonight to talk to you about not being this close to her bedroom. There's approximately 250 feet away from her bedroom window, and it's the best present I could give to her to not have this tower and the potential health risk, because they cannot prove to me that this is not going to affect her and her group. She's going to be sleeping, playing, eating there for a very long time. We built this house when I was pregnant to raise her, and it cannot be safe. I can't be told that it is safe. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Eddie.
Is that it?
I think that's all I've got as far as those, so.
As far as the location out there, the engineer or company that builds it to get the necessary coverage they need at all their places, this is where it worked the best to put it. That's why he's conveyed to me, and that's why they picked this lot to put it on. They do own a lot of property out there. But I guess I don't know how the airwaves work, you know, going up and down the hollows. I know they have to hit certain points and everything like that, but this is the area that he picked. Now, if you would like to talk to him personally, I can have him here for the next meeting.
That could be a good idea.
I would think that would be in this particular instance.
He'll fly in. Paul Wapaka is his name. And he can give you all the technical stuff you want to hear.
I think at least what I would like to hear is how much of a difference does it make whether it's there or located in more of a central area. Unless you guys want to know everything.
There's going to be residents that's going to see it.
Sure. And I can appreciate the fact, after hearing lots of these, and I know you guys heard a ton of them, that, A, they have to be above the treetops to even work. I mean, that's a given. I think all of you all would agree with that, too. They can't work if they're below the treetops. And there is an effort to disguise it, which is totally different than what we've seen in most It's so
first
I mean,
one we've
that.
Ever got that they've even tried to disguise.
Tried to disguise. But
well,
I think,
I mean, when you look at it, you're not even going to know it's a tower. It's going to be a huge pine tree. That's what it looks like.
I've they seen them. I saw them this summer on trips.
I mean, that's what it is. It's a big tree.
There was a question came up, and I'd really like to know, and I probably will drive out there just to ascertain for myself how tall the trees actually are on that
about
50
lot. Foot.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't.
That's what most of the old trees
is
are.
The elevation below?
I mean, there's no doubt.
The folks that are here tonight, it's lower than the folks that are here tonight. That's a knob on top where they are, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. I know at least one of the questions that I would have for Paul. I don't know his last name. Is how much of a, you know, I guess he could just put us to sleep with technical information. If that's what you guys want to hear, that's what we can hear. But what I want to know is, percentage-wise, how much more coverage is there right there compared to a couple other spots he may have looked at?
Yeah.
That may be less
populated. More centralized on the resort itself, where it doesn't interfere with anybody but resort people.
There isn't any place that you can go out there that there isn't.
Yeah, I think most of us are familiar with that spot, sure.
Because Big Cedar has went in and bought pods of lots, and it's all interchanged. I've got ownership maps of every piece they own.
Right.
You know, they're from there northward, they own most of it. Not all of it, but most of it.
Well, I understand that. I just believe that's a question that we need to ask for the folks that are here tonight asking the question.
If you get lower on the hill, then it doesn't work.
Sure.
You know, but I can request Paul to fly in it, and he can discuss all the technical stuff and bring support. If there's any support data that you'd like to see in particular that I already haven't given to
anything
Bob,
that
because I've given most of it to
you. And what's the road up in the right corner?
I don't know what you mean, the very top end up there?
Yeah.
Those are all just secondary roads inside that subdivision. That whole area out there is platted in thousands and thousands of lots.
So the Dale Road goes all the way through and to Big Cedar, right? Around the
What's the other one, ma'am?
Waterview.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
The and that may be zoomed out a little too far, almost.
Yeah, it's just a picture, isn't it? You can't zoom in.
Yeah.
Right?
The tower we're looking at is right in here, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
that's where I've got the address, right? Right where you're.
So we're here. This is of all the cabins along the lake that wrap all the way around.
Go up, straight up, Ed.
Here?
Go up higher. See where your L-shaped lines are? No, on up to your right now. Ain't that off the main entrance to two Big Cedar?
No, the lodge sits right there. The main entrance to Big Cedar is out here.
It's way off over here.
It's off.
Oh, that's it over here.
Well, right here it is.
Yeah. Okay, it's right.
You're
there.
Talking about once you get down to the resort, though, right?
This is
Steve.
This is the lodge that's right here. Devil's Pool Restaurant's right there.
Well, there's a daycare right up above that, where the two roads split.
Probably right there.
Right.
And then this is the cabins that go all the way around the lake out here against the residential over here, and the tower would be setting. See, this is the house that would be setting about right there. Because this here kind of faces all of their lodge property. And that's why they want it out there.
Yeah.
And they own all of this in here. Biggest part of this. They own the majority of all of this in here. They own this plumb out to 86 and all along 86, plumb over to the clinic that sits right there, and over to the community building that Oakmont's got right there. They own all of that. And so they own all of this bulk of land right in there. They own all of this, plumb out to 65.
Let's go back to the, where's the daycare at again?
Right in here?
Yeah. Now from that daycare to the southeast.
Is that Big Hollow?
See, that all goes uphill from there, though, from
that daycare. See, the daycare sits here.
That all goes uphill to 86.
This is a big, tall mountain up here because they're wanting to put the chapel right there on that high hill. That's the highest point out there right there. And the daycare sits down. This is a ravine in here The tower 80 foot tall, they wouldn't even be able to transmit over the top because it would be shorter than hill where the daycare is.
That's what I'm saying. The daycare, from the daycare where it sits to the east, it's all uphill from there.
Oh, yeah. You go uphill all the way up.
Yeah.
Probably this, and this is a guess, I'd say this hilltop is probably 100 foot taller than where the foundation is on that daycare. To that big tall hill. That's where the water tower sits up there.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Cool.
And see, in this planning here, in Division 3, all of this is approved for cabins. That's already been approved. And they're getting ready to start those in spring. So we've got all of this in here. The tower setting here. See, what they're looking at is to be able to feed all of that whole area. And what this is it just opens that up to where it's airwaves into it. That's what they explained to me. Because you're sitting in the side transmitting right into those elevations.
Okay. Eddie, I have a question. I was under the impression that the people here were going to benefit from this tower to get better cell phone reception. Am I wrong?
If one of their providers, say they get from Verizon, say they use Verizon, and Verizon wants to put a transmitter on that, they will allow them to do it.
But actually, there's no immediate benefit to the citizens here, correct? Okay, one other question, too, is, Bob, could you go back to that drawing of the tower? You tell me on there where the lights will be on this thing?
It has to be at the top.
I've got two of them that I see at night sitting in my yard.
There won't be lights on an 80-foot tower, will there?
That's what I was wondering, too.
I forget, Eddie, but it's taller than that.
Even with the airport as close as it is, I don't know, I'm just asking, but even with the airport as close as it is, it's not a hard
thing. No, we had one out there years ago that they objected strenuously to that was plumb up on the highway. We had the Antique Aviation Club came out against it and everything, and it was in a flight pattern to see a vote at the time, and it was turned down. It didn't go through.
I guess it won't be seen at night, because...
I don't think there's any light. I didn't see any lighting on those I saw this summer.
Okay.
As you can see the mobile antenna disguised inside the tree branches. There is a detail of that. And see, the antennas are hid right inside the tree right in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because really they're not going to clear it. Very small spot in there. They want to, you know how they are about vegetation out there. They try to preserve everything they can. Because it's easier to preserve it than it is to try to grow it out there. But I'll get Paul here. He can answer any technical questions.
So there'll be enough landscaping buffers on both sides of that to take care of our 25-foot minimums. I know that's a pretty narrow lot, but
they're not planning on doing anything except just clearing a big enough spot to anchor that. Put that little tiny building, and that's it. There's a driveway just big enough to get the material in there. That's it.
Okay.
It don't show on that the elevation above sea level, does it? I mean, for the base of it.
I think there is one in there, Bob. If you've got it where you can bring it up, it does show elevation.
I know I tried to put in everything that I thought we had.
I sent you probably a dozen drawings.
Well, it would have to be
pretty close.
1143
is I was going to say, I think it does have the elevations on it. It's just hard to see.
Oh, okay. You just got the elevation on the contour lines.
Yeah.
1143.
Okay. I hadn't spotted it yet.
Yeah, it was hard. It's hard to make it.
I'm old and blind.
But that's the elevation line there where the tower is set. 1140.
Yeah.
And these
folks' houses, about what's the elevation on their houses, roughly?
I haven't looked. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Maybe they can tell you. Maybe they're 30.
Mark, would you have an idea?
It's about the same.
I mean, actually, the wall
is it about the same?
Down to a hair, probably.
Mm-hmm. It goes over the slope.
Yeah, it goes over the slope, but it's not much different than ours. I'm going to say between 20 and 30 feet.
Yeah.
So you're going to be looking at the top of the tree.
Oh, yeah, we're looking right at the top of the tree.
I think I want to drive out there and look.
Okay.
I'll just make a trip out there.
They own all that property, but all that development out there, why can't they put it in a resort on the high elevation that they are? They have it on, you know, where they go put their chapel.
East of us. Where there are no houses.
Well, I think that's a question we're going to ask. So, yeah. I mean, that's we can do that for you. And that's why we have the public hearings. So we can, those are questions we can ask. Anything else for Eddie? Okay. Thank you, Eddie.
Okay.
I know that, yeah, I mean, it's a short night, Richard. Usually we don't do the back and forth, but go ahead.
Well, if you looked at that, if you went back
this river.
Okay. Yeah. But Big Cedar sits down in that valley.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And just like he's saying, up above where they want to put the some other condos or whatever they're going to do over there, that's above. So if this is going to be strictly for their communications inside the resort, because that's what I took it as first, this is going to be for their intercommunication system there. So does it matter if it's over on the other side or on the side by you're talking about by the daycare center or somewhere else other than up by us? It's just for the resort. And why can't they put it on the other side of the cove there? And as far as I have Verizon. But when I go fishing and I'm in the cove there, I can call my house. There's plenty of, I have great reception there. So if this is just for their own resort communication system, I feel that they can put that somewhere else in the resort.
Okay. Thank you. I that's why we asked Paul to be here. Now, I don't remember what his last name was. I know it's hard. Wapaka. To be here next week so we can ask him that question and find out so we're a little more informed. And that's why we had the public hearing so we can get that information then to ask on your behalf. So we'll do that. And I know generally speaking when we require these towers, we ask that they try to have co-location, which means other folks can locate on there if they decide to. And from what I understand, that is a possibility.
Oh, yes, that's
that doesn't mean that's going to happen.
Right.
No.
But that's pretty much what that's one of the first questions we generally ask, because Eddie knows, because he represents a lot of folks.
Yeah, they're not going to, anybody that wants to hook on it, they're going to allow.
Yeah, which is what we try to do first, too. That's why the first thing I asked him was, is there another place you can co-locate first? Because we would prefer that over adding this, but sometimes there's just not those places, so we have to do the best we can to see if we
can. And I've listened to dozens of these, and I still have no idea how their engineers' minds work. You can't make any rhyme or reason why they pick a spot. I just can't.
Do you have a chart
that's colored? We've worked on a bunch of them, and you can't figure it out, or I can't. Maybe I'm just dumb. I don't know.
Anything else on this item? Okay. All right, we're going to move on to old and new business. Thank you. First update on our old and new businesses, update on code amendments.
Okay. I just wanted to let the commission know that I did help the county commission held a work session, and I did sit down with the county commission to go through each proposed amendment. At this point, a public hearing has not yet been scheduled. They'll have to advertise it at least 15 days beforehand per statute. But we have held a preliminary work session, and that's the main thing I wanted to update the commission on, is that I do think it's beginning to move forward. We probably had a two and a half hour work session or so we did go through in quite a bit of detail, and the county commission did express their feelings on these various items.
Okay, so they're moving forward.
Yes.
Okay.
Was the article in the paper came out pretty accurate on what actually transpired or not?
Well, yeah.
I don't mean to put you on the spot,
no,
but
sometimes
you don't get the rest of the story.
Yes and no. There were a number of concerns expressed, and I think some of them in general terms about subdivision of land, mm-hmm. and some other things. And so really a lot of the concerns that were expressed were, you know, they wrote about that in the paper, so.
Right. Even though those aren't the things that we're, our amendments are dealing with.
No.
Those are just general issues that need to be dealt with.
Yes.
Which, you know, there's, it's a living document. Things can always be fixed and amended.
Exactly.
But we need
exactly.
to work on what we're working on now.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. Of course, they're always selling newspaper. Anybody can get up, shoot from the hip and get printed.
Yeah.
So have they decided to what day they're going to ask for these 15 days prior to?
I haven't gotten an answer on that yet, but I was told that I would be getting an answer on that pretty quickly.
Okay. Any other questions on that, on the update on code amendments? Okay, next update on Spirit Hill.
Well, on that, of course, that was an item that was tabled,
And why was that? I'm sorry, I wasn't here. So why was that tabled?
It's my understanding it was tabled because...
It didn't have the permits, wasn't it?
Yeah, that applicant hadn't obtained the land disturbance permit. She did actually come into the office today about 4 o'clock, and she did submit the application and the fee and the soil erosion control plan. The staff hasn't had an opportunity to review that as of yet, but she has presented that today. It is my understanding that, that her husband was in intensive care, and he's out of intensive care now, so she has come by and has submitted the permit application. We haven't had an opportunity yet to process
that. Okay, so when we look to make a decision on this next week, you expect that all the permitting process will be up to date?
Yes.
So that's that, which is the main reason it was tabled.
Exactly. That's what I anticipate. Okay.
Well, I've got another question about this. And Eddie, are you still the representative?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't mind, have you seen this letter from Mr. Conover?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, who's Mr. Conover?
He's the landowner that's adjacent to the airstrip.
Where at?
The big, the 1,400 acres, the big piece, the whole, all of the east.
Yeah, he.
Oh, that would be the.
I mean, his fence. Place. Yes, part of.
That's the only piece that big down is the lake
place. It's the piece that he wraps around the core. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's.
It's going to be basically.
He's off of Elbow Road.
Yeah.
You know, you go down that road, and it's. I mean, but it's a long way from there to where we're talking about. Where are the strip? He said this afterwards. I actually haven't spoke to him personally, but where the strip hits his fence, yeah, I don't know if you remember. I asked about that a little bit. I was curious about that, not realizing that it was such a concern to him. But the concern he's bringing up, which also brings a concern up to me, is it's a. I'm going to read it. Is that all right if I read it? I know a lot of you have read it. That way you know what it says.
Yeah, I don't have a clue what it says.
Okay. Commissioners, and this is from Charles Conover, and again, he is the landowner. He owns about 1,400 acres right there. Since I generally feel people should develop their land as they wish, I originally did not plan to respond to your notice. However, on December 21st, while in Forsyth paying my taxes, I visited the planning office to see just what was planned. I was shocked to see the plans for Spirit Hill Air Park and feel it needs serious revision. The planned runway demonstrates a total disregard for the rights of the adjoining landowner. As I am that landowner, I object to a runway that starts at my fence with entire takeoff and final approach to and from the east over my land. As the requesting landowner has about 1,200 acres to use, I see no need for them to use any of my 1,400 acres for final approach or takeoff. As I'm a licensed commercial pilot with over 1,000 hours of flight time, I also find the more or less east-west orientation of the runway disturbing in view of the fact that the prevailing winds in the area are north-south that require pilots to mostly land in crosswinds, which will be a safety factor. When I viewed my topo map of the land in question, I found essentially all the drainage near the runway and much of the development is to the southwest. This places the drainage into Poor Joe Hollow across my land and into Bull Shoals Lake. Under existing state and federal rules, any new drainage is to be retained on large developments. And you can correct any of this if I'm not correct here. Except for a 100-year floodplain on the newly developed land. I would hope that you intend to require this of the developer. As I've developed land myself, I question the plans for the roads. The plan shows no aircraft taxiways and thus that we use the roads. I doubt that Taney County wants fiscal responsibility for this area. Thus, what is the plan for road maintenance after the developer is finished with the development? If this isn't planned for the landowners, will eventually want Taney County to take the roads after they deteriorate. In summary, I have no objection to the development of the lots as long as all county, state, and federal laws are observed. I do, however, have serious objections to the location of the runway. As this development is going to be advertised as an air park, the runway should be internal to the development, as there are people who will want to live there with their aircraft. I certainly do not want the takeoffs and final approaches from the east entirely over my land. I hope as members of the Taney County Planning Commission, you will each place yourself in my position as the adjoining landowner and make your decision as if you own the land. So that's his, I think you heard his two major concerns there.
Well, the thing is, Sean, the runway, if you go out there and look at it, you know, we don't have the photos up there. If we go out there and look in the field, I was telling you about the walnut trees there.
Yeah.
They're back 100 yards from the fence. That's a, you know, that whole area is dedicated for the runway. But the runway will stop because of the terrain, because it falls off when
yeah.
it gets out there. That's where the end of the runway will be. It'll probably be 100 yards from the fence.
And, of course, that's not what the plan showed, because I actually asked the same question, if you remember, being very familiar with that piece of property.
Yeah, we dedicated it all the way out to the property line. That's what we did. You know, we don't want somebody owning that 100 yards where the planes are taking off. It's just part of the runway. But the actual runway will be built. And the reason it's located where it is, if you look at the topography and the terrain out there, it's a 1% grade from one end of it to the other. That's how flat that is out there. If we take and shift it, then we'd probably be 200 foot low on this side and grade at the other end. I mean, you know, so that's the reason for the placement of it, is the grade out there in the terrain. You don't go out there and spend $20 million building something when it's already built for you, when you've got to go in and just grade it out. And that's the purpose of where it's at.
Okay.
Now, as far as the runoff out there, they can be a small detention pond place without any problem. I think under the current Taney County Code, if you run the impervious cover numbers on this, that you wouldn't even need a thimble full of the tannage out there. I mean, there is so much. The only impervious cover you're going to have is the roads, the housetops, and maybe the hangars. And that's it. The rest of it will be left completely as vegetated area. And even in a residential subdivision that has got quarter-acre lots, most of the time you don't even need detention inside those if the soils are good by the current Taney County Code.
Okay, so obviously I know this is, I forget how many acres, but it's big.
1,200 acres.
1,200 yeah, acres. Well, you got it up there. Nice. the southeast part of that is where a lot of that impervious cover is going to be.
Well, the...
I know it's all 1,200 acres, but...
Yeah. See, this, the walnut tree set about right there.
Yep.
We're just dedicating this all the way out to here. There's going to be an access cul-de-sac right there and right there to serve those two lots, and by Taney County Code, we have to have those there to meet the code. So like you said, your deer stand was right out here or something, wasn't it?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this here all drains like this. You know, this goes off that way, but this property up here won't be draining over here. It drains over here. That's where it drains. So with him, with his runoff, he said to the southwest.
Yeah.
This is southwest.
Well, he meant southeast. I know right. Which he's talking
yeah.
about.
But I mean, you know, if you look at the quadrangle maps with the contours on them, this is top of the ridge.
Yeah.
So all of this is coming this way. His property's over here.
Yeah. And the core
yeah.
is to the south too.
Uh huh.
So, okay.
I have a question. Did because it's a runway, and I understand it's private. But does the FAA have to approve a runway? I understand the north-south winds, east-west. Should that be a concern, safety concern? Does the FAA have to give their approval on a private runway? Do they have to get involved?
They have to apply for a license to run that private strip. That's what I think. I don't know that for sure, but I know that they govern all airstrips, I believe, for safety features. It has to be lit a certain way or
And I assume that we, if in our In our, I'll think of it here in a minute. Yeah, what we'll call it. In our summary, that's something that we request, like we did, you know, for the tower compliance from the FAA, which at least I'm not a flight expert, but we're zoning people. I mean, I can't look at that runway and go, well, it's unsafe for safety. But we could require something from the
and
FAA.
I think we should, just for safety, because if it is crosswinds and this man...
Prevailing winds are from the southwest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, anybody knows that, not more south, it's southwest.
Yep.
Right. That's where wind comes in.
From what I understand, I didn't do a lot of research, but I did a little bit of research on air parks. And from what I understand, the FAA is primarily concerned about distances to actual other airports. They don't regulate air parks a whole lot, honestly. It kind of talked about you could get registered with them, but that's the main thing they seem to look at is the proximity to an airport, and they seem to get much more concerned if it's actually within a certain proximity of an airport.
So there's nothing we require from them in our summary. I just want to make sure that...
don't remember.
There may not be nothing to...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There may be, just like the, you know, there are things to require from lots of other entities, like sewer and DNR and things like that, but there may not be anything to...
But I think that's something that we need to check into with...
Yeah.
And I know quite a distance... driving-wise from the other airport, but as the crow flies, I think that's something that needs to be addressed as well.
Let me dig into that a little bit more, too, and I'll have a more thorough report on that for the next meeting.
I don't know if we can require it if the FAA doesn't require it, though. I mean, that might be putting a burden on the landowner of something they can't get.
Well, but to have the FAA say it's fine from the other... just. That it's a safe distance.
Whatever they do require, we would like to see.
Yeah.
So a compliance letter.
Yeah.
Which may be you're in compliance because there's nothing that you need to comply to.
One thing I can see that was probably has to be done is out there, you know, as people buy out there, they're going to be setting up homeowners association that's going to end up owning that airstrip. And I'm sure that the homeowners association out there is going to have to carry pretty large liability insurance on the property due to the airstrip. But, you know, those people to deal with there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something we need to be dealing with here. And the question that the gentleman had there about the road, these are all intended to be private roads. Now, I can't say that 20 years from now that if, say, there's 50 houses out there, 50 hangars for planes, that those people could come in and petition the county to take those roads.
Which then it's up to the county whether
it's
they get
it or not. It's up to the county, like Randy would go out and look at them and say, well, they're either good or you need to spend $100,000 fixing them to bring them into the county. But at this point here, they're intended to stay in the association.
Sure. I read what he asked. I just wanted you to know what he was asking. So that's
I'm just trying to address
Yeah, sure. Yep.
You know, and everything calls, you never say never about anything because you don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now, 20 years.
Bob, can you go back to your map, please? Can you give me the proximity of the road far to the west?
This one? You talking about this one over here, Randy?
Yes.
That there's Elm Island.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
It's what? What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out the location. Is this the same airstrip that's...
Do you know where
currently under construction?
You know where the fire tower is down there by that first thing is up on top of the hill?
Yeah, here's the fire tower lot here.
Okay, this is a total different... Okay, I'm on the wrong one.
I went to the wrong one.
This is where the old tower
is. Oh, did you ever need the wrong
one? Maybe if you go out there, you drive in the gate right here.
Right.
And there's a house that's right there.
Right.
And this guy's always got... Well, he put propane in now, but he used to have a pile of wood out there. Looked like 40 cord every year get burned. But he keeps it real neat there.
You mentioned earlier, I didn't interrupt anybody, did I?
No, go ahead.
The contour of the land, have you got something to show that?
I've got contours on the whole place.
Other than this?
Yeah, It's got the contours on that map.
You're wanting to see the contours with the overlay of the lots, or just the contours?
I want to
the
see
the overlay of the lots and the runway itself. But I mean, well, I want know to that's got to be on the ridge.
I'm trying to figure out what's on both sides of the runway and what's on the would be on the east end of the runway, I guess.
Okay, this here, Sean Deerhus, this goes to the lake.
Yeah, it does. Well, yeah, it turns and goes to the south there.
It goes to the lake. To give you a real quick view, Steve, what this is. Any place you see a road is a ridge top. Anywhere there's not a road, it's usually like this. Now, when you get...
Okay,
you come in here,
if that's the runway, this is the runway here.
Right here. When all you right. come in here, this is all pretty well the same contour. You go uphill a little bit, and this is a ridge top right here. And you wind off down here, and then this ridge top comes down like this, and it goes like that. And this ridge top here is within 1% of the same grade as the end of this out here.
Okay, what's the difference between the end of the runway there to the west?
Here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that far corner straight across from it.
Up here?
The other corner, to the right.
Here?
Over
here?
To your north, to the northeast.
Help me out, Bob.
So are you meeting from about here to
here? From
there,
go straight towards your right-hand corner.
To your graphic scale. Go to your graphic scale diagonal.
Oh, up here?
Yeah.
Like that, straight down. This is what it is. This ridge runs out like this, Steve, and stops. This is a big ravine comes in here, and then this falls off real quick that way. There's a hole in between this, the valley.
Is that core property?
No, that's all private ownership.
That's
here.
This man's property.
Now, where's
his property is
that, east.
He owns a bunch right there on that one side.
All of that east fence
he's right like over
is him, but everything else he's got goes to the east.
Yeah, okay.
That's all still part of the old Frank Gray place.
I don't know if it is or not.
But yeah, it's under a different name, but that's all part of it.
I know there's, well, most of the lordships are 40 acres, 80 acres.
Some of them, yeah. There's some that piece right there is like 160 or maybe 300.
You're talking about that pretty good size. Over there. Where does that run into?
All run into the Elbow Creek down there.
Oops, sorry.
This will give you a little better idea.
I see those fields to the east.
It's a little hard to see.
That's the only one this man owns.
I didn't do my Google.
But I see
that's
the ridge tops here.
Concerned from runoff.
Yeah. Here's
and flight.
Yeah, and it actually
here's where the
flight. Yeah, but
the strip is to be there.
Yeah.
The only house out there.
Right there.
On 1,400 acres.
This is a ravine coming in. The real heavy timber is ravines. This is a big ravine down here.
Yeah, you can see better on that map.
Well, I didn't see it until I...
But my that's where the roads are.
He's a nice, nice man.
Well, you can tell that he is.
Yeah. Well, he's a donor.
Oh, yeah. He's there.
Mm-hmm. But, like I said, the gentleman, he just abuts there on that, I guess, on the east side, along half a mile of that. That's what it'd be.
Mr. Conover?
Yeah.
For that piece of property, yeah. I mean, yeah. He owns that next field to the north way up there. He owns that, and then it turns back to the west, and he goes...
Oh, the one up there, half mile above it. Up there.
Yeah, he owns all that, and then it goes all the way back
actually,
to Elbow Road.
When Hill and, what's the other heir's name?
The daughter's husband. Yeah.
George Kramer.
George Kramer, yeah.
We surveyed the part that George got so they could break it out in place.
Right.
Because they were in the fight over the properties. And I think that's all been accomplished.
Yeah.
I think.
We haven't had any issues out there.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big notice in the paper about a tax sale on that property not too long ago.
Could be.
Yeah, it was.
On Kramer's?
I don't know who it was. It was part of the old Frank Ray place.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't that big piece. That guy bought
it.
He probably owns
it. It was on a pretty good chunk of land. I don't remember now exactly.
I doubt it would be on George.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
I don't know if they sold any of those.
Well, there's a bunch of that. See, there's more than that. There's more than just that 1,400 there that he had. Yeah. What did he have, like 3,000 or something?
Yeah.
Well, then so, the part that Peter had, didn't that go to somebody else?
No, I mean for sure, but if I think it went to George's wife, that's some of their fighting over.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
I think.
Yeah.
They're fighting over some of that pizza wanting it back.
Way over there, Sean. You take care of them beer.
No, I didn't even know he wrote this actually until today. I never talked to him. I just saw that.
Well, who got Doris Hager's part?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not, what I'm saying, I don't know if that's for sure. That's
all I know is all the parcels around that are really big, right around it. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, so I will say this, on the property, you better look at it, I still agree. To build a strip 5,000 foot long.
I heard Doris and Sue were good friends when she talked to
Google. That's the only feasible place without spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to put it on.
That Jim Hager went crazy with a squirrel.
In fact, that's probably the most
funeral arrangement. He kept telling her she's going to die. But she died of cancer.
Yeah.
Sue's the last one talking
to her. She died of deer hunting.
They were pretty good buddies.
I've seen it.
Wow. And all of them separate in the next one.
You can't tell which way the wind's going to blow up there. It could go one way, one minute.
There's mostly, there's some walnuts and cedars and that stuff.
Especially to get those valleys.
Oh.
I don't think there'd ever be a prevailing
fault. I don't know, when we stepped it on, it comes out to a little over 8 acres total.
He's the one to the east.
He's from Florida, but he's...
No, about eight or so.
The only thing I'm concerned about is...
No, about 8 acres. About 8 acres.
Okay.
If he, that's what he mentioned in the letter.
It's the drainage.
The strip is just, it wasn't very big.
I don't know what we can require that's outside of our code, though. See, that's the thing. There's so much impervious cover. I mean, there's so much natural vegetation. They're covered by percentage.
You know, if you go to Boswell down there and seen it, so, I mean, he knows how the land lays.
Because that's...
Yeah.
Can't do nothing about the plains.
Yeah, and there is nothing in the layout that violates the Tanger County Code. There's nothing in the layout that violates any DNR regulations. Everything is to code with county and DNR. That's
what we allow. Okay. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. I'm going home.
Thanks.
See you later.
Okay.
There is a little bitty old football game on tonight.
Oh, that's right. LSU and Alabama.
Yeah. Anything else from the commission? Anything else from staff? Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Who wants to be first?
I'm okay.
All right. We are adjourned.
Okay.